Welcome in to the Point to Post podcast. I'm your point guard, Toby Miller, with the postman, Coach Eric Sweet, rocking that beautiful Carver Rockets polo suite. How do you get that drip every single year? The Rockets are always decked out.
Well, when you coach for 40 years, or what feels like 40 years, you start to accumulate a lot of gear. And if you buy it big enough, so young coaches, buy the gear big so that when you get older and you put weight on, you have it for the next so many years. You gotta buy the stuff big. You can't buy it tight like the kids want it. You gotta buy it bigger. That's what post guys do. They buy big sizes.
And us point guards, we're looking for the extra mediums. You know, does anyone carry the extra mediums? That's my true size, is that right there. So sweet. Today, a little bit different type of pod. So we're gonna tell a story that revolves around basketball, but it's just a good story, something that you would tell to a group of friends when you're hanging out around the campfire in the summertime. So, Sweet, you got one that you're going to talk about from your playing days, and I have one from the AAU circuit. So hopefully we get a couple of good laughs, some good stories, and we'll get some back and forth about it, Sweet. But why don't you kick us off?
Definitely. This is, I think, the best part about coaching, playing sports is that you have these stories that are created over the years of playing the guys you play with. You know, we've talked about it before in this podcast. We're lucky enough that we grew up with coaches also. And so I don't only have my era of high school and my era of college friends. I have this era of past OG basketball that my dad coached in. Those guys come back and tell me stories because of my dad and being their coach. And so that's something that I've been blessed with my entire life. I don't just have these small pocket of windows. I have like my entire life of these stories of how, hey, Eric, you were this old and we were in the gym and your dad went nuts on us. Or, you know, we did this and it was just a great time. And we were at a wedding last weekend and there was four or five guys from that era. And I just stood there and just watched my dad and watched these guys talk. And it was fantastic. And so, I think that's something as coaches' sons that we're privileged to have, and I'm very honored to have. So these stories mean everything. I don't know about you, man, but like when I get with my college buddies and high school buddies, this is what we bring up and laugh about, and it's the best times. And sometimes I feel bad for our coaches because it can be the worst times for them. And I've been there before because my players come back and tell me all the time, Toby.
Yeah, it's always different when your players recount the story to you versus you recounting it to them. I think I'll get into that a little bit in my story, but go ahead, Sweet. Let's hear it.
So this story goes back to the 2002 season, which is forever ago, 22 years ago already. It was my senior year in high school. We had a really good team. We went 24-2, lost in the regional finals to LeBron James. The Sports Illustrated cover came out that year. The movie More Than a Game was about that season. It was a wild year, man, from the start. And so there are stories upon stories upon stories throughout that season. But one of my favorite stories, and I can't pinpoint when it happened. I'm going to feel bad for my dad here, aka my coach at the time. But it was like a Wednesday practice, and I want to say it was middle of season. And we're rolling. I mean, I don't think we have a loss yet at this time. We're 12-0, 13-0, something like that. Our next loss is coming soon, but we go into practice. We have a really good start to practice. We do our typical things, get up and down, and then we break off and we go 5-on-0. JV's at one end doing their stuff. We're at the other end. Dad put 30 minutes up on the clock. We proceed to argue for 30 minutes and get zero plays repped. I vividly remember this. It was the best time, though, because like dad allowed us to like have fun with each other and embrace it. And so it's going to sound awful because we did, Toby, we did not get a play correct or repped in 30 minutes, man. And so dad's over on the sideline, our assistant coach is on the other sideline. Me and the point guard are not arguing, but we're bantering back and forth. We're crisscrossing, we're screwing it up. And like, he allowed us to be kids and have fun with it. And it wasn't this anger session out of dad. You know, coach allowed us to do it. But we, Toby, 30 minutes, and we did not get a play fixed. Finally, dad goes, Obviously, you guys can't remember plays, but you're really good playing together. So let's go back to 5-on-5 full court and let's get after it. It's just like you do it. You do 5-on-0. Could you imagine not getting plays right for 30 minutes? You would lose your, you would, I would lose it as a coach. I mean, it's unreal.
It's a testament to your dad to be that composed in that situation, because I know certainly I wouldn't have been. And, you know, it's a lot easier when your team's really, really good. Like you were saying, you guys had a terrific season and you guys gelled well and played well together. I think it's funny that you're at the midway point in the season, right? And so you guys have been running this stuff, supposedly running this stuff, and you try to go 5-on-0 and no one can remember anything. For the record, the point guard's always right when they're going 5-on-0. So I can tell you that you're wrong, sweet.
It was, but like, and that's where like Dad always allowed us to be who we were. Like we had plays, obviously, like you said, we repped them, but at the end of the day, we were able to counter out of them. And like, as a post player, I had to take care of my point guards. And so when they would screw the play up, AKA get the play right, like you just said, I would make sure that I set a good screen for them still and got them where they needed to go. But like, we had a good connection with each other and we were able to gel. And so I could, looking back, I laugh at it, but I do feel bad for my dad, because as coaches, we want to have some plays in so we can do things when it matters. But we had such freedom and we had such knowledge that we were allowed to play the game and just get after it. And that practice was outstanding. Our assistant, John Turman, at the time, I could see it. He's just rubbing his head. Like he, I think he wanted to yell more than Dad did. And, it was kind of, it was almost like Dad knew we were winning. We were, like I said, we were 12-0. Nothing was going wrong. It was almost like his way of letting us argue without making it a serious argument, because he knew tough teams were coming. He knew tough games were coming. And so I look back and I think about that. Like, was he, I know he had a plan. He always has a plan. I mean, you know that growing up with these guys, like they, there's always a plan with it. And so he's still never told me to this day. He just kind of smiles and shakes his head. And he's like, yeah, I remember that practice. But I know there was an underlying thing that he's never told me and never will tell me, because it's one of my favorite stories to laugh about and joke about, because we're so play driven anymore. And even quick actions, whatever we do, it's unreal. But
I think it's, if I were him and I'm trying to spin that, make it seem like I'm some sort of mastermind with that, I would say at 12-0, when you guys go to run through plays, it makes you guys a little bit vulnerable that you can't remember them. And it, because it makes you vulnerable, you talk about how we have to have greater attention to detail. Even though we've been successful, we still have areas where we can improve. We can tighten things up. Anyone can beat us on any given night. That's how I would spin it. And us as varsity basketball coaches, we are the masters of spinning things the way we want them to be spun. So that would be the route that I would go on that, sweet. How's your summer going so far with the Rockets? You done any 5-on-0 this summer?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time working our quick actions. We actually talked a couple of the ones we talked about. We have dragon, we have double way in. We actually rep. And the other night we had our summer league and we didn't run our stuff correctly. And I was semi-angry. And I keep going back to, like, this story pops in my head constantly. I'm like, keep working, keep coaching, because even the best teams and the best players forget stuff. And so it's been good. We, you know, we just started summer, but we got our sets in and we run them. I've been using some timeouts and throwing some new things at the kids to make them think so that, like, they're ready for those situations. And, you know, when we do these 5-on-0s, they're more prepared and listening. And you're right. I think that's how Dad did spin it that day. You know, if you guys don't want to focus and dial in, you're going to get beat. And I mean, we did, but we only got beat twice. So we were pretty proud of that. And but that's one of my favorite stories of all time. And I feel bad for my dad because he just kind of sits back and laughs. But I know deep down there's something he did and it was on purpose. And it was good because we were successful at it.
That's a great story. I don't know if mine can quite cap that. Mine's a little bit more lighthearted. It's more like pulling on the strings of humor. So, as you know, we coach for Ohio Buckets, AAU organization. And so this is back in the Hoop Group days. So this is a couple years ago and okay. We're in Atlantic City for the Hoop Group event. And I'm coaching my team. And, you know, we had a good first day and it's all one bracket. So we won the first two games or whatever. So we're getting ready to go to the games the next day. And you know our good friend Jake Meisler that runs the Ohio Buckets, when he says that we're leaving the hotel at 9, it really means we're leaving at 8:20. So you have to be ready that 40 minutes before. So I got up early. I thought I had plenty of time to do the things I needed to do in the morning. So I get up. We're staying at the Tropicana, and they have a Starbucks right in the Tropicana. And I was like, awesome, I'm gonna go to Starbucks. So I go down there at about 7 a.m. I'm in line at Starbucks, and it is taking forever, forever. Like, I think I didn't leave the Starbucks until about 7:55. It was like an hour in line at this Starbucks, completely outrageous. And so I get up there, I get to the front of the line, and I'm like, I waited this long, I'm gonna get the biggest thing they have. So I got, I don't, I'm not a Starbucks like order master. I think it's Venti. Is that the biggest one or Grande? I don't know.
Don't get me started with that. I walk up to Starbucks, I go, I want a large black coffee. And they're like, that's it. I'm like, I just want coffee. And they're like, and they say all that stuff. I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
So I say whatever buzzword they have for their big cup of coffee. So I'm kind of angry because Meisler's blowing me up, texting me like, hey, we gotta go in like 10 minutes. We gotta leave in like 15 minutes. And I'm like, relax, I'm coming up. I got my coffee. I'm all mad because it took me an hour. I get in the elevator. There's like 30 floors of this thing. We're all the way up on floor 28. I get all the way up to floor 27, and there is a guy with a backpack in the elevator in front of me. And as he goes to exit the elevator, he turns with his backpack and nails the coffee out of my hands, the entire piping hot cup of coffee all over me. And I'm telling you, like, it coated the entire elevator. Meisler talks about how he went to get in the elevator after me, and I told him I spilled coffee, and he's like, no, you're just running late. And he saw the flood of coffee in the elevator. Dude knocks out of my hand, doesn't even realize he does it. The door shuts. I'm just covered in it. So I go back up to the room. I'm all mad. As you know, the higher up you get in AAU, the more serious it gets. So, like, people try to wear nice clothes, they try to wear polos and be presentable. And Jake does a really good job of making sure his organization looks buttoned up top to bottom. That was my last Ohio Bucket shirt that had just gotten coffee drilled all over it. So Jake goes down to the car, and I go into my suitcase, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't even, because it's the end of the trip. Like, I have no idea what I have left. And what I had left in the bottom of my suitcase drawer was a t-shirt that I got from when I was student teaching at an elementary school in Columbus City Schools at Ohio State. And we had a student that had autism. And so the t-shirt was like an autism speak shirt, and it had like animals on it, like a panda and a giraffe, like clearly a kid's t-shirt, like that I had worn from when I was student teaching there. And I don't know why I packed it, but that was the only shirt I had clean. So I get that. This shirt is baby blue with animals on it. The only pair of shorts I have are bright red. So put on these bright red shorts, this baby blue autism speak shirt, and I go down to the lobby and go and coach this game. So of course I'm hoping, like, okay, hopefully this game's a blowout. It's not super intense because I can't take myself seriously. I look like I'm 15 years old as it is, and I'm wearing this shirt and these shorts. Sure enough, it is an overtime game. It's super close, super intense. I'm starting to get on the officials, and they're just looking over at me like, what in the world is going on? This other guy's got on nice slacks and a polo, all buttoned up, great organization, playing the short shots. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm cussing at my kids because this was a group that I was close with, yelling at them, trying to get over the top. Anyway, it goes to overtime, sweet. And they had that tournament was an Elim ending.
Okay.
So it was the first team to 5 points won in overtime.
Gotcha. That's
So,
something we need to talk about in another podcast is how do you want to play out that ending? Because there's all kinds of scenarios that coaches bring up throughout that point. But get back to you looking like a 12-year-old. Here we go.
this story is why I was yelling at you this year, like with the Elam ending. I was like, you got to foul in certain situations.
Yep.
So they win the tip, they score a two. We
Okay.
come down, run a set, make a three. And it occurred to me in my mind, it was just an epiphany that, I didn't realize all spring that we are horrible at defense and really good at offense. I didn't know that all spring. It just came to me. So I'm like, what's going to happen is we're going to give up a three and we're going to lose and not have a possession, where if we get a possession and score, we win.
Yep.
So as they're running down the court, I have this epiphany and I'm like, we got a foul. So my foul call is red light. So I am now screaming red light in my Autism Speaks kid shirt with red shorts on. I am at half court screaming red light, stomping on the ground. My kids don't know what's going on. They don't know why I'm trying to get them to foul. I'm screaming at Luke Rager to foul this kid. I finally just start yelling, foul. Luke fouls the kid. Okay, he makes both. And I'm trying to explain to Luke, like at the free throw, like I told you to foul because I want us to get the last possession, because if we score, we win. I don't want us to lose down there. So we foul. Kid makes both. They have four. We have three. We come down and we run something. I forget exactly what happens, but Raekwon Thompson, our point guard, got a ball screen, got to the rim, and scored. And so it was exciting. Everyone was all excited. It was basically like a buzzer beater. And Meisler's like filming the whole thing. And you can see me like jumping up and down, looking like a complete idiot. So excited that we won the game. He ended up after that day, it was on Twitter and our social media for one day. And it was, he thought it was so embarrassing that he ended up taking it down. So you cannot find that on Ohio Buckets Twitter anymore. So that is my story.
Couple things to break it down here. One, a coffee to a coach in the morning is one of the most important things of all time. So the fact that you lost your gigantic coffee or whatever the small size is that Starbucks gives you and then spilled all over the top of yourself, I probably would have busted the elevator door open. That alone like ruins your day when you're a coach and you're coaching AU. You need that coffee, man. I get you there. Second, I've seen this shirt. I have never heard the whole story behind the shirt. The shirt always gets brought up. And the fact that it goes to overtime and Elam ending and all this stuff, and you're in red shorts, which is not the color that Jake wants any of us to be wearing at a time, with giraffes and elephants on your shirt, screaming red light, by the way, is the best visual you can have watching you. And for everybody listening, and this is not a knock, but Toby's not a tall guy. He is a true point guard. And so he, when he's around these kids in AU, he is not tall. And so he is the shortest guy on the court most of the time. And when he puts him next to us, guys, we're just big. And so I can see you screaming and yelling red light. I love us coaches trying to make this stuff complicated. Just yell foul. Like, you want the kid to foul. Like, just yell. Just tell him to foul. Because then when he does foul, he's like, oh, okay, coach, thanks. It's just it's the wildest thing. Oh, it jumps up and down.
You get that one official, though, that, like, if you yell foul and he's like, oh, well, you're yelling foul, that's an intentional foul, and he screws you over to prove a point. That's why everyone has these different calls for intentionally foul, but I guess me at half court jumping up and down in my shirt wasn't enough for Luke. So
screaming red light with your red shorts on.
With my red shorts on. I'll have to copy a photo of that shirt in the editing process so people can see the glory of that shirt. That's why That's why Ryan Roth and Christy always ask every year, is the Autism Speak shirt coming back out? And I said, the Autism Speak shirt's undefeated. It has never lost a game.
It probably needs to be hung in the rafters. It probably needs to have its day and just be up in your classroom, hung up, and just, it's 1-0, and it just hangs there, you know? Sometimes you just got to have victories, man, and just take the victories when you have them. And 1-0 is a good one, a good way to let that shirt hang out by itself. Oh, that's fantastic.
Two really good stories. I think we did a nice job of keeping it a little bit lighter today, Sweet. But yeah. why don't you go ahead and get us on out of here?
Yeah, thanks for listening to the Point to Post podcast, where every post player wants to be a point guard, and every point guard needs to get down in the paint and post up a little bit. We thank everybody for watching or listening, if you're on Apple or Spotify, where you're at. But please go ahead, download, like, and subscribe us. And hopefully you enjoyed our stories today. And maybe next time we'll have some other ones that give a little more action and detail also. So thanks for listening to the Point to Post podcast. I'm your host, Eric Sweet, my co-host, Toby Miller, and we're out of here.
Bing bong.